Jesus and his followers have left the relative comfort and security of their Jewish neighborhood and crossed the Sea of Galilee to a country of Gesara. The folks living in Gesara are known as Gesarenes. They're most likely regular folks, just like you and me. Unlike most of us, though, they're farmers, specifically pig herders. Life is fairly routine in Gesara. Everyone helps each other out with the chores of swine herding. It's a pretty nice community. They follow the Franklinian rule, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Women tend the children, bake the bread, haul the water, and generally keep the household in order. Men spend their days feeding and caring for the pigs and keeping the pigsties in top shape. It's a messy job, to be certain, but days, for the most part, are predictable. Litters of piglets add some excitement, as does the occasional escape of a hormonal boar. But for the most part, days run on, one day after the other, without much dramatic flair. There was a time, about 10 or 12 years ago, when things weren't so stable and bucolic in Gesara. Hilda and Omar's son had been having some trouble. At first, everyone thought it was just a case of teenage rebellion, but the bothersome pranks of an overactive teenager quickly became wild and dangerous assaults on people of the otherwise sleepy town. They tried everything they knew to do, but nothing seemed to work, until finally they had no recourse but to chain him up in the cemetery. There in the cemetery, in chains, he was no longer a danger to himself or to others. It would have been good if they could have found a better solution, a nice facility with bars on the windows and locks on the doors. But there just didn't seem to be one. The situation in the cemetery wasn't great. He would yell out all sorts of profanities at people as they walked by or came to pay their respects to their dearly departed loved ones. And worse even, he couldn't be trusted to keep his clothes on. The women and children were scared of him, and the men were just downright disgusted. He smelled worse than the pigs that they tended, and didn't behave as well as they did either. Some kind and caring souls would leave him food at the end of the reach of his chain, just close enough that he could stretch out a dirty, bony finger and reel the morsel into his mouth, but also far away enough that a quick grab of the wrist of the guarded caregiver would be impossible. This guy was dangerous. And this dangerous guy was the first person Jesus encountered on his excursion to the other side. There was no doubt in Jesus' mind from the first moment of this encounter that he was truly on the other side. The wild man runs up to Jesus and says, shackles dangling from his arms and legs, and says, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." This man is tormented already. So much so that he no longer has claim to his own body, his own identity. Jesus asks him his name, and he responds, "Legion." Omar and Hilda had not named their precious baby boy Legion. That was the name given to those who had overtaken his identity and taken hold of his life. The Legion know who Jesus is and don't want the current situation uprooted or changed in any way. The Legion is in control and will fight like mad to maintain status quo. But Legion also knows that Jesus has power, more power, the most power. The demons begin to beg to be sent to the abyss, not to be sent to the abyss, but to be allowed to enter the nearby swine, and Jesus agrees to their demands. The demons leave the unclean animals, pigs, and and now are possessed by Jesus, just standard pigs don't count that much anyway. What happens next is a problem. The pigs, now possessed with the legion that has left the man, run, hare, and hide straight down the hill and into the lake, resulting in a mass suicide of a legion of pigs. And for a brief moment, time stood still and everyone watched in disbelief. The previously tormented and tortured man stood stunned and tried to cover his naked body. The disciples and Jesus stood staring into the bubbling and gurgling waters of the lake as the corpses of the pigs slowly sank to the bottom, and swineherds held their heads in disbelief. What had just happened? This was more insane than anything they had witnessed to this point. For a moment, time stood still and everything moved in less than slow motion. Then, as if someone flipped a switch, time resumed its regular track and the swineherds broke into action. They ran and told everyone about the scene they had just witnessed and what had happened to their pigs. Hogs and sows alike, pigs and piglets, all drowned, gone. No mention was made of Hilda and Omar's son. How he was freed from his torment, how his life was restored. That was not what was important to the good folks of Gesara. What mattered to them was their financial security, their future stock in pork bellies. When they ran from door to door, sharing their misfortune with all their neighbors, everyone got into the rift. People ran to see for themselves what had happened, and when they got to the scene of the terrible tragedy, what they found was calm waters and Omar and Hilda's son looking placid and calm as a kitten at the feet of Jesus. Some good soul had gotten him some clothes, and he was in his right mind, a place he hadn't been in many, many years. And rather than stepping back and surveying the depth and importance of what they were witnessing, these good folks of Gesara got up in arms. They were incensed. How dare you come in here and mess with our economy? How dare you decimate our livelihood, destroy our future securities? One person was healed. So what? We have a whole town that's going to have to rely on unemployment now. Only this is the first century Palestine, and there is no unemployment benefit. So this is even worse than it looks. We are doomed. What will we do? No swine, no income. The people are afraid. In this one afternoon of an otherwise unremarkable day, their whole way of living has been turned upside down. They had become accustomed to the wild man in the cemetery. They had a practiced method of dealing with him. It wasn't great, but it worked for the most part. The routine of their lives was just that. They knew what each day would be like with few interruptions, and life was good. Not great, not exhilarating, or even enthusiastic, but stable and normal for Gesara, and good. But then this foreigner appeared. A foreign Jew who had no regard or understanding or concern for their way of life, and he totally messed everything up. Before this incident, everything went as it had for years, but now here is this Jewish rabbi, Jesus. He's ruined everything. Does he not care about our lives and our livelihood? Does he not concern himself with the needs of the average citizen? And who is this that he can get the legion to leave Hilda and Omar's son and go into our pigs? He just needs to go away. Far, far away. He's meddling beyond belief. And what if Jesus were to show up in Anniston, Alabama? What demons would he see that need to be exorcised? It seems to me that Jesus is more concerned with individual health and wholeness than he is with financial security. We see that time and again when we come face to face with Jesus. Health and restoration of the whole person is much more valued than financial stability and other forms of security that weigh so highly in our cultural values. Jesus doesn't really seem to care about financial resources much at all. He does seem to care greatly about how we treat each other, and moreover, how we care for those who have no one to care for them. What would it look like if Jesus showed up in Anniston this afternoon? Would we be cheering for those made whole and restored to health? Or would we be cursing the change of life as we know it?